God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this time that we have to come and worship you, just the privilege of coming into your presence and saying that as the deer thirst for water, so we thirst for you. Lord, I pray that we would want you more than anything else. I pray that we would get a glimpse of how great you are. I pray that your plans for us would so overwhelm any plans we have for ourselves that we would be left in awe and wonder. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So I need to ask you all a very serious question. Who stole my October? My word, this month has just gone by so fast, hasn't it? And it's going by the whole year. And I don't know if it's because we were singing those old hymns that we sang when I was in a church that would fill one of those little sections over here. When I was a little kid, we used to sing hymns. That was it. It was hymns. And reminiscent of that, but I'm looking back over my life and realizing I'm not the same person I used to be. My body is reminding me of that on a regular basis. Aaron, you are not as young as you once were. And I'm thankful, though. I am very thankful that I'm not the person I used to be. Can you imagine if we all never, ever changed, never, ever grew, never, ever developed? I mean, it'd be really awkward. Everybody walking around it with diapers and a bottle. It'd be so awkward, wouldn't it? I am so thankful for development, for growth, for maturity. We're going to talk about that a little bit today as we are finishing up our series, The Grace Vision Exam. If this is your first time with us, that's great. If you've been here for the past 120 years, that's great. Because here we're just getting a glimpse of what God has called us to be here as a church, as Grace Baptist specifically. Now, there are going to be some things in here like, yes, all Christians should be this. Yes, but we believe that God has called us to a specific mission and a specific mission field. And we put it together in what we call our vision statement. And this is our statement. If you want to read, go along with me. If not, you are more than welcome to just sit there and listen. But this is our declaring who we are as a church. And so we're going to read this out loud together. So if you would join with me, starting at the very beginning. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by serving our community, seeking the lost, and growing as committed followers of Jesus Christ. This is what God has called Grace to be. And you'll notice there are some words there in color. We've looked at those in the past weeks. If you want to catch up, those messages are online. Go ahead and listen to them. They're on our Facebook and on our website, gracetyrone.net. So go ahead and listen to those to catch up. And each color has a specific purpose. We chose that on purpose, that it does have a theme. Last week, we looked at that phrase, seeking the lost. And this week, we are going to look at that very last phrase, growing as committed followers of Jesus Christ. This is the third and final pillar of our ministry model here at Grace. This is the picture. You can give me words all day long. You give me a picture, and I understand it so much better. So we talked about Grace Baptist Church. That's the community that has connected. We connect. From all over the place in this area, we connect. But it's on the foundation of worship that we connect, because it's all about God. There are catchphrases in each one of these. So as I say the first half, those of you that have been here, I want you to say the last half. For worship, the people of God point to God. The people of God point to God. Connect. People who belong to God belong. Then we see the symbol for serving. This is shining the light. This is putting the gospel into action. That's because serving people are, and caring people are, serving people. Then there's seek, because found people. This week we're going to look at the word grow. Godly people are growing people. Godly people are growing people. This final pillar. So everything we do is based on this model. And now we're looking at that growth. One of the greatest obstacles of faith, at least in my experience, is when people feel like Christianity really doesn't change anyone. That it makes no difference. You were the same before as you were after. What's the point? Now, this doubt just isn't limited to skeptics. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you probably feel like you should be farther along than you are. That you aren't living up to what you know is right. That even where you want to be better, you just aren't. It can happen early in your faith, or it can happen decades into your maturity journey. Let me encourage you. Growth in faith is absolutely possible. It does absolutely change people. And it is really hard work. It's possible. And it's hard. You're never too mature for this. This symbol that we use, we chose the color green for two reasons. Number one, it symbolizes life, vibrance. Think about plants. We were out in Arizona. Know what we did not see a lot of? Green. And when we did, it was a cactus that said, "Don't touch me." But green is also a symbol for advancement, going forward. Go for it. Go ahead. Constantly advancing. This is the green light. If you are waiting for a green light from God to take the next step in your relationship with Him, to grow, to advance, this is it. We are growing. See, when God calls us to eternal life, He calls us to a lifetime of growth and being conformed to His image. That's what we're going to see today. And without spiritual growth, there is no spiritual life or health. If you're not growing, you're dying. If a plant does not grow, what's it doing? Dying. Same thing with us. Same thing with our spiritual life. There's a reason Jesus says of us that is the vine, we are the branches. Branches, if they aren't growing, are dying. So we grow. Now, many of us, we sang this song. I'm remembering it again because of the hymns that we sang. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, and you got to do the motions with it, right? And yes, that's true to an extent, okay? If you read your Bible, you pray every day, it should lead to growth, but it is so much more than that. It takes so much more than that, because here's the truth. There are sometimes we read the Bible, and we aren't going to understand it. We need help from somebody else to understand it. We grow together. We grow together. Yes, if you want to grow, you must at least read your Bible. Spend time in God's Word. Pray. That's what Jesus says. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We have to have that constant connection with God. But it takes so much more than that to grow. See, God has not called us to a building on Sunday. God didn't say, hey, make sure you are in this physical location, in these four walls on Sunday. Sit in a seat, sing some songs, hear some words spoken, flip through some pages of the Bible, and mumble some prayers every day. That's not the life He had in mind. He calls us to a vibrant, thriving, growing relationship with Himself. Personally, that is growing deeper every day. By the way, one of the best ways that we relate to God is relating to God's people. Let me take you back to that foundation of connecting. The people who belong to God belong together because we represent God's image to each other. That's part of our relationship with Him. And that relationship does transform us from the inside out as we are made more like Him. We grow predominantly through God's Word. Foundational for everything that we do. It's one of the ways that we connect to Him, the primary way that we connect to Him. This is based on God's Word, and it happens when we are hungering and thirsting after God. We grow deeper in our relationships to God and each other through God's Word. So the principle that we are learning today is godly people are growing people. Godly people are growing people. And we grow through God's Word. Which leads us to our first big question. I always wonder this one. Why? Why should I grow? You're telling me it takes a lot of effort. It's going to take a lot of work. you need to have a big why behind this. Anything that takes as much effort and power. When Jesus called his disciples, he said, come, follow me. And they had to leave a lot behind. In fact, everything. And make no mistake, every believer is called to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And in fact, every believer is called to be a disciple maker. That's one of the ways that we grow. And if you're telling me it's going to take this much effort, this much sacrifice, there has to be a big why behind it all, right? I mean, if we're talking growth just for the sake of growth, that's the mentality of the cancer cell, growing just to grow. That's not healthy. I got to take great pains at my age to make sure my growth is in the right direction. I'm done growing up. My body is now starting to grow out. I have to make sure that that does not happen unless it is the way I want it to happen. And that's often when my body says, Aaron, you're not 16 anymore. There has to be a good why to go through that. Why do we do that to ourselves? Why do we diet? Why do we exercise? Why do we go through all this hard work? I was at Bake Shop Bakes this week, and there was a lady in there. She goes, I'm getting my donuts for after my blood sugar test. Oh, and she goes, I figure the way I see it, as long as they're happy, you can exercise, you can eat right, still die. Good point. I'll have a donut. Thank you. Why do we do this? Because there is a why behind it, an important why. Well, for us, we grow to pursue maturity. To pursue maturity. When the Bible talks about us getting saved, coming to Jesus, it calls it being born again, Jesus says in John chapter 3. And that is a fitting picture because just like a baby needs milk to develop and grow, baby Christians need what the Bible calls spiritual milk to grow. The basics, the foundational things, those things that are more basic to our relationship with God, like read your Bible. Pray every day. But look at what Paul says, Peter. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. And what does he point out is the spiritual milk? If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. It's the goodness of God is the spiritual milk that is the very beginning. God is good. Yeah. You know you've been in church more than in a few years if you got that one. You know how to win at hide and seek with Christians? You say that phrase. All the time. Oh, man, you found me. But he says that that's the spiritual milk. The goodness of God is the spiritual milk. When we get to see his goodness, when we get to experience him, he doesn't just say, if indeed you have knowledge that the Lord is good. I can tell you a recipe for whatever dish you want. I can tell you what it's going to taste like. But until it has hit your mouth, you don't know how good it is until you've tasted it and experienced it. And it's become a part of who you are. That is the milk, the very basics here. But as time goes on and the baby matures, the diet changes to include solid food. I am so glad that I don't have to eat baby food. I get to enjoy some steaks, pork chops, all that good stuff because it's solid food. That's what the author of Hebrews is talking about when he says this, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. You want to grow and be more mature in the faith? Get more skilled at handling this thing. This is the meat. Yes, it has the milk, but it is the meat. You know, I might not be stuck on milk, but I still have a cup from time to time. Don't tell my kids, it's always chocolate milk. But solid food, he says, is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. He says this is going to be the basis for growth, is his word. Solid food is for the mature, those who can be discerning, and that's simply clearly understanding the meat of God's word. See, while the growth stages of a baby, they give us a good picture of what our spiritual journey should look like, the analogy actually breaks down. See, to make a baby grow is, yes, I'm a parent, I have two kids, so I know what I'm about to say is completely unorthodox. It's not that hard. It's challenging, but it's not that complex. You plug in the bottle, change the diaper, make sure they sleep, bathe them on a regular basis. And the growth naturally happens, seemingly overnight. I have an 8-year-old son that I swear was born yesterday. I can't believe how quickly he's grown, how quickly my daughter has grown. And it happened naturally. I did not say, okay, now this cell needs to be right here and, you know, make sure that this your tibia and fibia, that they're the same length on both legs and make sure that your humerus bones are the right. No. It happened naturally. It does not happen with spiritual growth normally. There are things that happen rather passively, but most of it takes a great deal of our activity. Growth for the baby Christian only happens as much as they intentionally conform themselves to the image of Christ that we see in Scripture. Spiritual growth depends on our action. There are Christians who have been saved for decades, but spiritually, they are still babies, incapable of understanding the deeper truths of the Word of God. And then there are those that have been saved only a short time and have such a profound knowledge and understanding and a maturity in their faith. It's amazing. Here's the thing. The point I'm making with it is your growth rate is not going to be the same as someone else's. It's going to be whatever God has in store for them. We all pursue maturity. What that looks like is going to be different for each one. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. In life, growth is not an option. You will be growing. You are always growing. Think back to who you were at this time last year. Are you the same person? No, something's different. You changed, you developed, you matured, or you worsened in some way. You regressed. And the same is true in the Christian life. We are always growing. The question is, are you growing in such a way that could be described as going towards God or away from him? Are you more like Christ, or day by day are you becoming less like him? It's growth. The question is direction. So we grow to avoid spiritual dwarfism and to pursue maturity. We need to ask ourselves, have I seen God growing me lately? Am I pursuing maturity in my life? Am I intentionally developing my spiritual maturity? But this isn't just about us, by the way. The why behind it all is not just for us to be mature. In our growth, we can be self-focused and self-centered that we forget what the true main purpose is. What was the foundation for our model? Worship, glorifying God. That is not just our church, that is the church as a whole. Every church, every believer, every human being that calls on the name of God does so for one reason and one reason only: to glorify God. He says he works all things to the glory of his grace, to the praise of his glorious grace. We grow to glorify God. You want to, glorifying God, by the way, is just showing how good God is. You want a great way to show the world how good God is? Show him a changed life. The change that he makes in you. Part of my story, I grew up in a really strict household, and my brother ran away from home when he was 16 to get freedom. And, you know, six-year-old me was like, yeah, stick it to him, buddy. I wanted to be like my brother, that rebellious, freedom-seeking fellow. A few years later, we got a call that my brother had taken enough drugs to kill a Clydesdale horse. And he was still alive only by a freak accident. He had thrown himself down the stairs, lacerated one of his internal organs, and was internally bleeding so that the drugs couldn't get to his vital organs. And I realized that 6 years old, man, that's not what I want. I don't want that life. Sorry, I wasn't 6 years old. I was 10 at the time. I also didn't want the Christianity my father was showing me. By the way, Dad and I are good now, so before I share this story, we have a really good relationship. He and I have talked this one through. Because it was a lot of, submit, son, using this as a weapon to try to keep me in line. And I didn't like that. Sometimes he did it right and lovingly, but still as a kid, I didn't like that. So here I was wondering, man, what in the world is going on? I can't seek freedom from Christ because it ends up where my brother is, and I can't, if I seek Christ, I'm going to end up like Dad. I don't want either one. So I went through a very dark time and absolute hopelessness until when I was 16 years old, my dad got into a car crash and he was paralyzed from the chest down. And I became my father's caretaker at 16 years old. And I saw a bitter, harsh, angry, opinionated man be completely transformed as his body was broken, but his spirit was made whole by the power of Christ. And I said, that's what I want. That's the change that I want. It was a changed life that changed my life. If found people find people, changed people can help other people change too. We grow together. Godly people are growing people. We grow more like God, and our character, will, and thought by the power and guidance of the Holy Spirit. That makes us not the object of praise. It was not my dad that saved me. It was God working in him. No longer are we the object of praise, but God is. Look at what Peter says again. We're going to be in 2 Peter chapter 2, or chapter 1, by the way. So if you want to just camp out there, we'll be hanging out there mostly today. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Okay, just a little side note. He has given to us most of the things, except for the secret hidden things that you really have to listen to all the experts for. He's given to whom? Us. Who's us? All of us. All things pertaining to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. This is what he has called us for. We grow for God's glory, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. This whole letter that Peter is writing is about growth. And that growth, when we look at this passage, is a call on our lives into God's glory. We are progressing into his excellence. And as we grow in his holiness, righteousness, mercy, justice, and grace, and love, all that he is, it will radiate out from us. It will overflow. We become what Peter calls partakers of the divine nature. We share the image of God that he designed us to bear. We have a standing mirror in our bedroom that... I'll be honest, sometimes we don't get to cleaning as often as we should. It ends up getting dusty. You got to take the sleeve of whatever you're wearing, you know, wipe it off. And go, oh, that's what I look like. And when we are growing we are wiping off the mirror of our life, seeing the image that we should be reflecting. God created us to reflect Him. And when we wipe off that mirror, that's us. We are reflecting that image better with each brush. Peter goes on to say, "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue." Supplement simply means here to add on top of, to grow, to mature, to add on. Faith with virtue. Virtue with knowledge. Knowledge with self-control. Self-control with steadfastness. And steadfastness with godliness. And godliness with brotherly affection. And brotherly affection with love. Now, wait a minute. He's talking about a progress of maturity here. And where does it end? In loving each other. We're right back to connecting again, aren't we? Here, Peter lists character qualities that need to be added to our saving faith in order for maturity to take place and have a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he says the ultimate culmination of it is love. Wait a minute, didn't Jesus say something about this? They will know you are my disciples because you'll have all the right answers. Oh, sorry. They will know you are my disciples because you wear the right clothes, listen to the right music, eat the right foods, read the right books, watch the right... What is it? Love for one another. Which, by the way, will impact the way you do those things and why you do those things. But maturity shows itself up in love. For, he says, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, so not only do you have them, each one of them are developing and growing... They keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Get this, knowledge is the seed that's supposed to bear fruit. Knowledge is not the fruit itself. That knowledge of God in Christ is supposed to be implanted and then bear fruit that Paul or Peter just listed out here. He says we're to have these in increasing measure, that each day is another opportunity to grow closer to God's image, or we will naturally grow away from it. The glory of God and our knowledge of Him is not meant to remain intelligence and information. It's not just information, it's meant to lead to life transformation. Transformation. So ask yourself, have I gotten stale in my growth? Am I growing in the knowledge of God? And is that knowledge leading to change in my own life? So we grow for God's glory. But our growth is not only for the here and now, but for eternity in the future. Third thing we're going to see is that we grow to embody eternity. Growth means that our life is on a trajectory. We are headed from one point to another. We are bound for heaven. And when we keep that in mind, growth is the natural result. When we forget that and begin to live just in the here and now, yeah, stagnation is going to happen. As Peter puts it in verse 9 of our passage this morning, "For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an inheritance, an entrance into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." The eternal kingdom of our Savior is our eternal destination. Peter shows us here that God has a purpose behind his plans for us to grow in these areas, that constantly growing in faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love, that all of that is actually preparing us for God's kingdom. The daily being shaped more and more into the image of Jesus Christ, of our character, our heart, and our mind, all being brought into alignment with his, all of that is actually living out heaven on earth as we are more like him each day. Am I pursuing a life that is fit for eternity? Does my life look more like Jesus now than it did yesterday, last month, last year? Does the path of my life, the trajectory I am on, show that I'm headed in the direction of eternity? Where you grow will be determined by where you are focusing. Do you know why plants grow up? Multiple reasons, but yeah, light has a lot to do with it. Why? Because they know how much they need it. They have a focus on it. What you focus on is what you will grow towards. So why do we do this? Why do we grow? We grow for maturity, God's glory, and the place we already have in eternity. But how? Okay, we've talked about the why. What about the how? How do we do this? Is it really as simple as some make it sound or as complex as others believe? How do we do this? Well, let me make it very clear. First off, it is not by trying harder. If you walk away this morning thinking, oh, Pastor just wants us to try harder to grow, man, I'm messed up. That's my failure. No, it is not about trying harder. See, when you're first saved, it's wonderful. We are overwhelmed with the goodness and grace of God. We learned that the gap between us and God was covered by the cross, that Jesus took care of our sin. And he bridged that gap with his grace. And over time, we focus on another gap, though. The gap between who we are today and who we're meant to be. And we begin to think that it's on us to bridge that gap. We struggle with our sexual desires, controlling our anger. We go into the pits of depression. We have countless other flaws, weaknesses, and struggles inflicted in our lives by the power of sin, whether our own or that of another. And then we begin to think that we're supposed to bridge that gap by doing better and trying harder. What if we ask the question more specifically? What will help us grow closer to God? Exactly. A closer relationship with him. What about this? What will help us grow more like Christ? If we ask it that way, the answer is the same as what will save us. Grace alone, through faith alone. It's the same thing. The grace that saved you is the grace that's going to change you. We grow in grace. We say we are saved by grace through faith, but then think we don't need to follow up and live in grace and faith afterwards. That's why the righteous will live by faith. We grow by depending on God's grace. Ultimately, our growth in Christ is not something we can make happen. We are involved in the process, sure, but God is the one who brings it about, not you or I. As Paul puts it, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. In this passage, Apollos had come in after Paul had planted a church. And some people were saying, well, I follow Apollos because he's the new guy. New has to be better, right? And some are saying, no, I follow Paul because Paul. And Paul is going, hold on, wait a minute. You don't understand something. It's not about Apollos or Paul. It's about God who gives the growth. All we were his faithful servants. We didn't make the seed. We just planted it. We scatter the seed, but we are powerless to make it grow. God gives the growth in a person's life. So what is our part of this growth? How do we grow? Again, this deals with our focus, which is not to be on our actions, method, efforts, or determination. Our focus must be, as it always has been and always should be, the glory of God. As 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, do all for the glory of God. Friend, self-improvement is no more God's plan for your life than self-salvation. Your growth, your progress, your maturity is a part of your salvation. One of the words that we use to describe salvation, it clearly displays this. You are sanctified. Simply means set apart. And yet, there is a way that sanctification is progressive. strangely enough, we call it progressive sanctification. I know, super creative. Where we are more and more set apart from the things that were damaging us, the things that were harming our relationship with our Creator, the things that were harming us in general. God's plan is for those who have faith in Him to be made righteous and for the righteous to live by faith. All of that is entirely dependent on His grace to be given, guided, guarded, and growing by the grace of God. To live in grace is to follow His leading. To simply say, this is where you have called me to live. This is how you have called me to live. I will do so. To follow the Spirit means doing what His Word says and walking in step with the Spirit. We aren't going to do this perfectly. We're going to mess up a lot. That is why it's so important for us to know that His grace is sufficient for you. Some of you are saying, look, I get what you're saying, Pastor, but I'm not there. I'm not mature. I'm not growing. Is God okay with me? Well, I'm sure God wants more for you. But He says His grace is sufficient to Paul, who describes himself as the chief of sinners, the worst sinner. If God's grace is sufficient for Paul, it's enough for you too. See, that's why it's so important that we know that we need His power every moment. So we say to Him, God, with Your help, as best I can, I will do what You say. I will give You my life, my time, my obedience. Truth is, everyone has a next step in our dependence on God. We're constantly growing. Godly people are growing people. Everyone has a next step. No one can say they depend on God as much as they should. None of us. None of us have arrived. But we should be asking ourselves questions like, am I depending on God's strength for my growth or my own strength? By the way, if that's you, I have one serious question for you. Where do you think your strength came from in the first place? Why not just plug into the power source? Have I been trying to earn God's favor by growing, or am I depending on Him to help me grow? Trust me, that'll please Him a whole lot more. Our part is not to produce the growth, nor is our part reduced to simply passive laziness. Well, God, You better grow me. I'm not going to do anything. It looks a whole lot more like aggressive surrender to God's guidance, even against our preferences and will. It looks like pushing everything aside that gets in our way of getting closer to God. We grow by drawing closer to God. We grow by drawing closer to God. God has designed us to grow closer to Him and has given us everything necessary to experience that growth. Everything we need to grow in godliness, our ultimate aim in growth. And where does it all come from? If we look back again at verse 3 of 2 Peter chapter 1, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. What we need comes through the knowledge of Him. Who's Him? Christ. Jesus Christ. That's the key to obtaining everything we need. And where does our knowledge of Him come from? Communicating with Him through prayer and listening to Him in His Word. That's why we are told later on in this book of 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 17, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." See, to grow, growth is not our goal. Growth is the natural byproduct of focusing on God, of pursuing Him and being in a closer relationship with Him. That's why godly people are, because we want more of Him. We want Him to have more of us. When Jesus prayed for His disciples, He didn't say, "Father, I ask that they all have identical devotional habits. I pray that they all sing one specific style of music. I pray that they all have the exact same haircut." No. That's not what He says. He says, Father, I pray that they are one as you and I are one. That they may be one with you. The main measure of our devotion to God is not our devotional life. It should be helping, but that's not the main measure. It's our connection to God. He says, through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, you could take that as knowledge about him, but that's not what he's talking about there. He makes it pretty clear from the context. It's knowing that person. We talked about this a little last week, where if you know your best friend, it's not because you read a book on them. You can tell me the details of your best friend because you have spent time with them, talking with them, getting to know their heart, their mind, and the same thing is true of God and Christ. It's our connection to him. That's why Peter tells us, like newborn babes, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. See, when we experience the grace and goodness of God, we will grow to love him and want to spend more time with him. At the end of all this, our hope is not to be skilled Bible readers, practiced prayer makers, faithful church attenders, or outwardly mature Christians. All those things are good. Don't get me wrong. Those are very good things, but they are means to an end, not an end in and of themselves. They serve the purpose of the plea that we see in Hosea chapter 6, verse 3, where he says, let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. All of those things are a means to an end of knowing the Lord. Growth, biblically speaking, is just finding new ways to surrender your will to God's, to live out the text of the Bible in the pages of your life, to walk and talk more like Christ, to dive deeper into your relationship with your Heavenly Father, of discovering new ways he wants to sculpt your heart to make it look more like his. See, growth is a whole lot less about what we are doing and so much more about what he is doing in us. But we make the time and space available for him to do that. The things we do, like prayer, reading the Bible, going to church, the things we call spiritual disciplines, are like a cord, an electrical cord that plugs us into him. Otherwise, we are just a battery-operated thing. Used to be, batteries are getting a lot better today, aren't they? But it used to be every week you'd have to change the batteries on something or they just die out. At least it seemed that way. Why not plug into the source of power instead of coming in for a recharge once in a while? They give us access to the life that flows only from him. It's not about what you are doing, but who you are focusing on when you are doing it. How close are you with God? Would the way you relate to him be healthy if it were in another relationship? Oh, yeah, I talk to him once a week, you know. We have this disagreement. I don't mess with him. He doesn't mess with me. That's not a healthy relationship. Neither would it be with God. Here's the one that's going to hurt, the ouch point this morning. Where is God calling you to surrender to him right now? What is keeping you from having a closer relationship with him? I guarantee you that's what he's asked, what he is telling you. See, everyone has a next step they can take to be closer to God. How can we best do this? Through regular exposure to God's word, all right? It's God's word that allows us to draw closer to him, that keeps us walking in step with him. Psalmist says it this way, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. This is how we weed out those things that will keep us away from God. What does it say? How often are you spending time in God's word? If it's infrequently, well, that's how often you're getting input to know how you can guard your way, how you can continue to grow. Do I usually read God's word to be informed or transformed? The psalmist was able to say later, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. That sounds really arrogant to begin with, doesn't it? I'm smarter than my teachers. Well, he's not saying that it's intrinsic to him. He says, because I'm paying attention to what God says. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. See, normally, age and maturity ideally should go hand in hand. But they don't always. You got to learn. You got to change. You got to grow. Our maturity is dependent not on our accumulated knowledge, not on our age, not on our degrees or our education. According to the psalmist here, our maturity stems from our understanding and meditation on God's word, whereas wisdom is seen, savored, and shared. Everyone has a next step in their connection to God's word, because godly people are. How important is God's word to you? How much do you crave it? Ask yourself, when have I been brought closer to God because of his word? Have you ever become so gripped by a truth in his word that you're driving on the highway and you just got to pull over and weep? It just hits you out of nowhere. Maybe it's a song on the radio. Maybe it's a verse just pops in your head and all of a sudden you just, wow, God, thank you. Now, as we grow closer to God, we will naturally grow together. We're in the home stretch now. We will grow together. Now, we are to grow in so many ways. We do that best in community. Hebrews 10:24 says this, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day drawing near." See, we grow best when we grow together. Don't let me be misunderstood here. God has a unique plan for you. It's not a cookie-cutter Christianity. If you do steps A, B, and C, you are now graduated to being a mature Christian. That's not the way it works. We are always maturing until the day that we finally take that last graduation ceremony, and then we are in his presence perfected as we should be. However, where we grow, how we grow, through whom that growth comes is the same for all of us. We grow by becoming more like Christ through the power he alone provides. Growth happens in community. We challenge each other to good works. We carry one another's burdens. We restore each other. We encourage each other. We care for each other. We comfort each other. We teach each other. We hold each other accountable. We coach each other. All of these are one another commands that were given in Scripture that do not happen outside of community. I don't want to belabor this point because we're talking about it next week. And we discussed it in Connect. This is why our body, our church, our connection to each other as fellow Christians is so important. We need each other to help each other grow because you might see something I don't, and I might see something you don't. We are helping everyone take the next step. So let me ask you, who do you connect with daily, weekly, or monthly to help each other grow? If nobody, I recommend you be here on the 13th. When we sign up for life groups, one of the greatest ways to grow is in a life group. Again, I'm not going to belabor that this week. How have I seen God use others to help me grow? What opportunities has he given me to do the same for others? If you're asking yourself those questions, you're heading in the right direction. He's getting you there. So we grow, in summary of all we've seen this morning, we grow for maturity, for God's glory, and for our place in eternity. We grow by daily depending on God's grace, actively seeking to be closer to him, living out his word, and connecting to a community of godly people, because godly people are growing people. So really quickly, if we look at this model, what does it look like? This is a pillar, and pillars are made of pieces of stone, not one solid stone usually. This is not going to be just formal education. And as I said, it's not going to be a step-by-step, here, do this. But here are the things that we are going to have as elements that we do have. Basics. This is just the bird's eye view of the Bible, what God's story is, and how you fit into it. It's the big beliefs, a general outline. Okay, what is the book of Genesis all about? And how does Revelation connect to it? And what are the gospel? All of those are important for us to understand because that allows us to take the next step into studying it, putting it together, understanding it. Paul tells Timothy to do your best or study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling this word of truth. This is going to include, how do you understand the Bible? How do you know what it means? And then putting it all together and understanding why we believe what we believe. For instance, the word Trinity doesn't show up in the Bible once. Why do we believe it then? Because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit are all pretty presently there. It takes study to understand these things. But remember, it's not just meant to lead to information. It is meant to live out in application, transformation. How are we going to put it into good use? This happens through mentoring, discipleship. I'm really excited about next week. I'm going to be presenting a ministry next week, and I'd encourage you to be here for it after the service, where we are going to talk about this application, seeing our lives transformed by God's Word. This is development. We are able to take Scripture and apply it to all of life. And the ultimate goal of this is somebody who is self-leading. My ultimate goal is to work myself out of a job, where you no longer have to say, hey, pastor, I got this I delight in those things. Those are good things. I'm glad to be that for you. Eventually, I would love, and I've seen it. It's so encouraging when you see somebody turning around and taking something that you taught them and teaching somebody else. They got it. Wonderful. Able to turn around and teach others, discipling the next generation. Because remember, every believer is called to be a disciple, and every disciple is called to be a disciple maker. This is done predominantly through personal discipleship, this connection, this mentoring role. So in the end, what are we looking for? We looked at those three pillars. We are looking for a self-leading, soul-winning servant leader. A self-leading, soul-winning servant leader. That's our hope. That as we mature, that describes who we are. Because here's the thing, if that describes you, here's how God will describe you: a good and faithful servant. Well done, my good and faithful servant. I hope that this series has helped clarify what we are about as a church. It is a good reminder for those of you that have been here for a while, those that were part of our adopting this. I hope it has reinvigorated you. It was so exciting Friday night. Those that came out, wow, wasn't that a great night? We went out to the streets of State College for street evangelism. And there was not a quiet moment from the time we started until the time we stopped and finally said, we are exhausted, we have to. And that is just one day in this journey. It's amazing God grows us like this. Again, in 2 weeks, we have our life group signups. Life group leaders, please be here for that. If you're a potential leader or a present leader, please be here for that. I would love to see God growing us through each other's ministry to each other. And next week, I will be presenting, yes, I'm keeping it vague for a reason, I'll be presenting a new opportunity that does include discipleship, which you know is very dear to my heart. We're going to close with this hymn, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. This is a dangerous prayer, by the way. Because when you pray this, God loves to answer this prayer. You want to be closer to me? He is going to cause you to lean on Him in ways you never thought possible. He's going to grow you, because godly people are growing people. It occurs to me that perhaps you're discouraged. Perhaps, like me, you're looking at yourself and going, oh, there is that huge gap between who I am and who I'm meant to be. Let me encourage you with a few words. Philippians 1:6 says this: I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it at the day of Jesus Christ. The work in us is not done yet. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory. Pray with me. God, we come before you confessing fully that we are not what we should be. But Lord, we also praise you that we are not what we once were, nor are we yet what you will one day make us. Thank you, Lord, for that glorious hope. Continue growing us, Lord. Keep us dependent on you. In Jesus' name.